Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Today is the weekly Sabbath in the middle of the Days of Unleavened Bread, and tomorrow would have been the day for the wave sheaf offering, giving us the count towards Pentecost. Let's read what is recorded in Leviticus 23, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf an he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Symbolizing the first fruit of the harvest, while the people of Israel completed a physical ritual, we understand the spiritual significance through Jesus Christ, whose death made possible the spiritual first fruit. Knowing that the first implies many more to come, we may think there never was any concern among the people of Israel regarding the promises of God. And yet from the very beginning of the journey out of Egypt, doubt could be seen. And deep down, much of this doubt was brought about by a fear of being forgotten by God. Think about it. God had, through a series of progressive miracles, each more intense than the prior miracle, had caused the people of Israel to be freed from Egypt. And instead of focusing on their freedom, it did not take long for them to turn their attention to doom and gloom. After Pharaoh let the people of Israel go, the Egyptians wanted their cheap labor back. And Pharaoh began to pursue the massive people who were leaving. Instead of having confidence that God would fight for them, they became worried. So worried that they concluded that all that would happen for them was an early death in the middle of nowhere. Moses had to remind them that God would fight for them and that they needed to hold their peace. Exodus 14, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea besides Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Thousands of years later for us, living in a time far removed from the intensity of that moment in time, it's easy for us to overlook the raw emotions of that time, with people having just lived a lifetime of oppression and not fully understanding what freedom was. Knowing Pharaoh was in hot pursuit, they could only imagine what bad things were likely to await them, and that thought was likely reinforced by a century's long stay in Egypt. It was likely easier for them in their mind to imagine going back to what was than moving forward to what would be. Similarly, for us today, we have lived in a world where it seems as if people control what happens. Knowing we also look forward to a world to come, the new heaven and new earth, and new Jerusalem, knowing that we also look to the kingdom of God, under intense and trying situations, it could be as equally easy for us to, in our mind, to imagine this world will always continue instead of knowing what the kingdom of God and what the new heaven and earth and new Jerusalem will be like. The people of Israel, who had just tasted freedom for the first time in their lifetime, probably felt as if God would abandon them, almost as if God was playing just a cruel trick on them. They couldn't understand that what they were experiencing then was part of God's plan to bring mankind to this future place that we seek, the kingdom of God, the new heaven and new earth, and the new Jerusalem. They couldn't understand that, even though they were many and others had come before them, that centuries and millennia later, God would still be working with his people through the Church of God. Those people then didn't get the promised land right away, and in many ways, just like us today, they faced the uncertainties of their life and faced situations maybe they never expected to see. Their journey was long, and due to his prior actions, God did not even allow Moses to enter the promised land. Before his death, Moses told the people of Israel to be strong and of good courage and to not fear what they would encounter because God was with them and would not abandon them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. The message of not being afraid of what would be encountered in life was immediately reinforced by God with Joshua after Moses died. God knew there was work to be done. God knew that the people of Israel not only had to cross the Jordan River, but needed to also take possession of the land, a land that was not vacant, but inhabited by other people, but rightfully belonging to the people of Israel because of the promises made to them by God. He reminded Joshua of the need to remain true to the faith, to not allow the book of the law to depart from his mouth, and to be strong and of good courage, because God would be with the people of Israel and Joshua. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Today, we might find ourselves living in a part of the world where life is more predictable, where we feel safe and secure. And for those of us who have that as part of our life, we may have less to fear today. But the promise of God to remain with us and never leave or forsake us remains. Because we have God with us, we should know God will provide for us. We have nothing to fear and can be content with what we have. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We do not need to fear being abandoned by God, because he allowed Jesus to die so that we can have eternal life. God already paid a very high price for us and will not abandon us. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have this hope for eternal life, because what we do spiritually is made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus. John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Paul wrote about the frustrations we can face. He showed that although we have the Holy Spirit, we live within a human body so that the glory belongs to God and not anything we do. He explained that we can be surrounded by troubles and yet not worried. He added that even if we are persecuted and suffer, it won't destroy us, because the life we seek, eternal life, is made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto the death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. We know that many feared being abandoned during Old Testament times, and we look to God who allowed Jesus to die for us while we were yet sinners. If God was willing to do that for us then, God will not abandon us today. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We can think of David, who had a share of challenges throughout his life. He considered God to be most excellent, and when David considered the enormity of the universe seen through the night sky, he wondered why God was so interested in mankind. David asked a rhetorical question, implying that God would never abandon him. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. David wrote that God not only destroyed the wicked, but that God would never forsake those who seek him. the enemies of God will come to nothing, and those in need will find refuge in God. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou satest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. David knew God would not leave him in time of trouble. Having God with him during the most difficult of times would bring peace to David, even when the evil lurking nearby was death itself. David understood that through God came mercy and bountiful living. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Proverbs tells us that although man can do everything to ready himself for what is to come, it is through God what we plan will be established. As we commit what we do to God, God will establish our thoughts. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart and man, and the answer of the tongue, is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. We are not called to be weak, but to be spiritually strong. Proverbs also points out that if we faint in the day of our adversity, our strength is small. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. In Isaiah is a passage describing how God protects Israel, even in times of trouble. God showed that even in turbulent waters, God protects those who are His, because He loves those who are His. All of this shows that God will not abandon us. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And when thou hast passed through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Jesus used the analogy of a vine to show his commitment and the commitment of God to us. He explained that he was the true vine, and we are the branches of the vine which must bear fruit. He showed that just as a gardener would trim a bush to encourage growth, that God brings situations into our life so that we can also bear fruit. And showed that as we bear fruit, we bring glory to God. In this analogy, Jesus showed the only branches that are purged are those that are disconnected from the vine, because all that is left for it is to wither and die. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The idea that God will not abandon us is even evident in the name of Jesus revealed by Isaiah the prophet. Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Mary was pregnant with Jesus, an angel of God appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him of this prophecy, that the birth of a son would fulfill this prophecy. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. The Holy Spirit is a reminder to us that God will not abandon us. Before his death, Jesus told the disciples that he would not leave them comfortless, but would come to them. And today we know that he spoke of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus called the Comforter, that would allow God to always be with his people. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is much different than the temple of the Old Testament. The temple of the Old Testament, which contained the Holy of Holies, is where the mercy seat could be found. Now, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our physical body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that should give us comfort that God will not abandon us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Even when we suffer, that suffering does not serve a random purpose. God allows suffering to be part of our life because he knows it will add to our spiritual growth and development. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Jesus taught that all who are burdened in this life find an easier way forward through him. Even when we suffer because of Jesus, our suffering is less than what would typically be expected. It is through Jesus we are given rest. If we are given rest through Jesus, if we are given assurances of a light burden, Jesus shows us that we will not be abandoned. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Even when he gave the disciples what is thought of as the Great Commission, to preach the gospel and baptize people throughout the world, Jesus assured the disciples he would be with them through the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What causes us concern sometimes is the weight that comes with faith. Peter reminds us in a second letter that God is not doing anything other than bringing all people towards repentance. Even with the weight, God does not abandon us. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Paul told the Philippians that he was confident that God would finish the work of faith begun in each person, and that this would continue until the return of Jesus Christ. Never would there be an abandonment by God of the people of faith. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul told the Romans that he was persuaded that nothing would separate the faithful from the love of God, which comes through Jesus Christ. There is nothing that would cause God to abandon us. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because we have lived as people, we have all experienced some type of loss, betrayal, and abandonment. But God has never abandoned us, nor will God ever abandon us. We can rest assured that God, who has started a good work in us, will continue it until our place in the kingdom of God is secured through the gift of eternal life, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is through Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.